This morning, I'm going to look at a story in Matthew chapter 14, and we'll see how Jesus taught his disciples to respond to an overwhelming need. But before we get to that story, let me tell you one about a job that I had over 30 years ago. When I was 19 years old, I spent one summer working in BC on a tree planting crew. And in the midst of in the morning, this truck would take us and drop us off at the side of a mountain, where we would begin to work with the loggers that clear-cut the forest. And one morning, I stood at the edge of this clearing. And I looked across several acres of open, wide spaces as thousands of small stumps peeked out from the forest floor, where tall spruce and tall fir trees once stood. And the carnage left behind by the loggers' heavy machinery was really devastating when you looked at the forest clearing. What was once a pristine forest was now really something that looked like, well, kind of like a war zone. And as a tree planter, it was my job to fill that space by planting about 2,000 of these little 8-inch tree saplings. At the end of the day of working really hard of filling that space with all these tree saplings, I looked back at the area and I'd see those saplings that I'd planted. And this, yet after I'd done all that, the place still looked like a war zone. Next to those large stumps, those little saplings were hardly even visible. And my small efforts seemed to hardly even make a difference in that huge logged-out area of the mountain. And maybe you've had a similar feeling sometimes about your own efforts. When you looked at a huge need and you might have thought, well, this need is so large and my efforts are so small in comparison, what difference can I make? Well, one day, a busy day in the hills of Galilee, Jesus' disciples felt that very same way. They were faced with a huge need that really overwhelmed them. And now they were actually on their way to a spiritual retreat with Jesus. And they were trying to get away to a quiet place to relax a bit and get refreshed. But along the way, I guess someone in a village somewhere must have recognized Jesus and spread the word that the miracle worker was in their neighborhood. And the story of what happened next is found in Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 13, where it says, "As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote place, a remote area, to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Then it says, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat." Just moments before they arrived on shore, they were enjoying the serenity of the water as they sailed across the Sea of Galilee. As the sun reflected on the calm waters, surrounded by those large green hills, the disciples were relaxing in the boat and had put up their feet and were enjoying some camaraderie together. And they're looking forward to some downtime. But as they approached the shore, they saw and heard the commotion of an anxious crowd that was clamoring for Jesus' attention. Well, so much for getting that time off. That wasn't what they had planned, and it's not what they were looking forward to. And I can imagine Peter just turning to Andrew and saying something like, "Hey, why did we even come ashore for? We should have just anchored out in the lake and enjoyed ourselves. Everywhere we go, it's the same thing, just people, 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 people and problems. And look at this huge crowd. It's amazing. It's huge." As they look up in the hills, they could see people that are streaming down towards Jesus like ants coming towards a breadcrumb. And today, when we look at the tremendous needs of humanity across the globe, we might have some of those similar kinds of feelings as they had. It might seem like a steady stream of human need. For example, every 4 seconds somewhere in the world, a person dies of hunger. Every 4 seconds. That's about 21,000 people a day. World hunger is a steady stream of human need. Another example would be the number of people who die each day without ever hearing that Jesus loves them, that he died for their sins. It's been estimated that about 44,000 people die every day who've never heard the gospel. That's a steady stream of people entering eternity without ever hearing the gospel. Furthermore, 750 million people do not have access to clean drinking water, and 2.5 billion people do not have access to adequate sanitation. And all these needs and all these statistics can be overwhelming when you look at the enormous need of humanity. And it can cause us to think, this need is so large, and my efforts are so small in comparison, what difference can one person make? And that's maybe what the disciples felt that day in Galilee. Maybe they wondered, how can the 12 of us meet the needs of all of those people? But Jesus taught them a powerful lesson that day about how to respond to great human needs. And what Jesus taught them, he wants to teach us today. Now, we are in the middle of a sermon series called The Great Adventure. It's a series of messages that's about being a true follower of Jesus. And being a follower of Jesus is the greatest adventure that there is. Today we're going to look at how Jesus makes a little go a long way. But try to imagine the scene as throngs of people surrounded Jesus and his disciples. The Bible tells us that the crowd numbered 5,000, not counting the women and the children. So that means maybe 10, maybe 15, maybe even 20,000 or more people filled the hillside where Jesus stood. And they came with their sickness and their fears, hoping to find healing and deliverance from this miracle worker named Jesus. The enormous human need in that crowd that day seemed overwhelming to his disciples, and maybe even a little bit annoying. But Jesus taught them how to respond. And in a similar way, if we open our hearts, the story will teach us also. Matthew tells us in verse 15, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Here Jesus teaches us the first lesson in how to make a difference in the world, which is this: don't dismiss opportunities. Don't dismiss opportunities. Notice that Jesus didn't send them away or get back into the boat and sail off to a private beach. Jesus saw the needs of this huge crowd, and he was moved with compassion. The helplessness of the people seemed to pierce his heart. He saw precious immortal souls who were hurting and being pressed under the weight of human problems. Fortunately, our God is a God of compassion. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Jesus was filled with compassion, but the compassion of the disciples was very weak. They had a concern for the people, but a gripping compassion was missing. And their problem was the same problem that has always enslaved men. Men see nothing but their own human efforts and resources. At the end of the day, the disciples looked at the hills covered with people, and they wondered, how can we possibly take care of this huge crowd of people? They were overwhelmed by the need because they felt inadequate, and they felt defeated by the enormous challenge that was in front of them. And in verse 15, Matthew tells us that that evening the disciples came to Jesus and said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. The disciples found the crowd overwhelming, and they wanted Jesus to send them away. But Jesus wanted to teach them something. So Jesus said, that isn't necessary. You feed them. See, Jesus didn't see people's need as an inconvenience. He saw it as an opportunity. Jesus understood that people aren't poor just so that they can annoy us. People don't get sick just so that they can inconvenience us. People aren't lacking saving faith just to make our work more difficult. Jesus didn't see the people's need as an inconvenience. He saw it as an opportunity. And every human need is an opportunity to display God's love and goodness to others. It's true that most of us can only do very little when we're faced with a huge need. You can't feed every hungry person in the world. You can't solve every problem or even rescue every vulnerable person. And so how do you respond? How do we respond? Do we respond like the disciples did and simply send them away? It's true that most of us can only do very little when faced with a huge need. But that doesn't mean that we should dismiss an opportunity. You can only do so much, and you might not be able to meet every need, but you might be able to donate some non-perishables to the pantry at the community center. Or you might be able to sponsor a child with World Vision or Compassion Canada or some other good organization. You might have the opportunity to be kind to a neighbor or give some of your time by serving in a ministry. One person can't meet all the needs that are out there, but that doesn't mean that we should take a defeated attitude that says, what good will my little contribution make with such a large problem, and then just do nothing. True followers of Jesus don't dismiss opportunities to demonstrate God's love to another person. The disciples said to Jesus, send the crowd away so that they can go to the villages and buy foods for themselves. He responded by saying, that's not necessary. You feed them. And remember that there could have been up as many as 20,000 people there. And so you can imagine how exasperated the disciples were. What were they to do? They only had limited resources. They said, but we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Well, we learn from Now, from this response of Jesus, the second lesson of how to make a difference in the world, which is this: start with what you have. Start with what you have. Disciples told Jesus that they had only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's hardly enough to feed 20,000 people. So how does Jesus react to this shortage of resources? How does he respond? Well, he simply asks them to bring him what they have. He says, bring them here. Bring the loaves and the fish to me. Notice that he didn't scold them for having a lack of resources. He didn't tell them even to go out and get more. He simply asked them to bring him what they had. And what Jesus asked of them is what he asks of us. He asks us, bring me what you have, whether it's small or substantial, whatever it is. He says, bring it to me. See, God is more concerned about our heart than he is about our wallet. For example, on a different occasion when Jesus was in the temple with his disciples, they're watching the rich people go as they toss their large handfuls of coins into the collection box. Each time the heavy coins landed, they made a loud noise and they jingled in the box. So one after another, rich people would pass by the collection box and they toss in their large coins. And as they did, everyone would hear the coins fall into the box, just ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. But then a poor old widow came by and dropped in her 2 tiny coins. And they were so small that they made no sound when they hit the collection box, when they landed in the collection box. And no one noticed her. That is, no one but Jesus. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. This poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she has. Jesus told the disciples that this poor widow gave more than all the rich contributors, even though she only gave 2 small coins, which tells us that God doesn't look at how much is given, but at how it's given. It's not how much you give, but how you give it. This woman gave generously. The others only gave a little of what they were capable of giving. Jesus says that they had given a tiny part of their surplus, whereas this poor widow had given generously from what little she had. Jesus said, this poor widow has given more than all the rest. You see, a small effort that glorifies God is greater than a grand accomplishment that merely impresses men. God looks at the heart, not the amount. And when we bring what we have to God, and we do it out of generosity and compassion, that pleases God. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. In other words, God loves a person who gives from the heart. This describes someone who gives out of true generosity and compassion. Another reason why Jesus said that the poor widow had given more than all the rest was because she gave in faith. She trusted God with what she had. Now, please don't get the idea here that I'm asking you to drain your account this morning and put all your money into today's offering. I'm not suggesting that, and I don't think Jesus was suggesting that to his disciples either. Jesus knows that we have bills to pay, and he's not suggesting that we be irresponsible with our money. Remember, Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. The point that I'm trying to make is that God is pleased when we bring what we have and give what we can give with a heart that's generous and also in faith. See, God wants us to have faith, and that means trusting him with our finances. Regular giving, giving a portion of your income to God, teaches us to do that. It teaches us to trust God. But remember, giving is more about the heart than it is about the amount. So don't think, my contribution is too small, so why bother? Start with what you have. Jesus is saying to us today what he said to his disciples, bring me what you have, whether it's your time or your money or your abilities or any other kind of resource. Jesus says to us, bring it to me. Which leads us to the third lesson on how to make a difference in the world, which is this: trust God to bless your resources. Can you imagine looking out, could you imagine the look on the disciples' faces when they realized that Jesus was planning to feed all those people with only 5 loaves and 2 fish? But they did as Jesus had asked, and they gave him what they had. And then Matthew tells us in verse 19 that Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. Imagine standing at the top of a hill, looking down on the crowd of about 20,000 hungry men, women, and children. And starting at the front with a basket of bread, you watch that basket being quickly passed down the line from person to person, expecting it to be emptied in at any moment. But instead, it just keeps going and going and going and going. As you run down the hill to try to catch up with that basket, you see hundreds and thousands of people with hands filled with bread, laughing and eating. Verse 20 says, they ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. When we give to God what we have, we can trust him to bless our resources. Now, again, don't understand me this morning. I'm not preaching the prosperity gospel here. We're not saying that if you give lots of money in the offering today that God will bless you with a new Mercedes or give you the winning lottery numbers. But what I'm saying is that God empowers our small human efforts to accomplish glorious kingdom results. God takes what we give him, and he uses it for good. Again, I'm not teaching the prosperity gospel here, but I want you to understand that the Bible does teach the principle of sowing and reaping. The Apostle Paul wrote these instructions for the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. He said, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in pressure or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. In other words, when you give to the Lord, both generously and in faith, God blesses both the gift and the giver. God takes what we give and blesses our resources. I encourage you this morning with a testimony about our own church here, Westside Pentecostal Church. You may know that we are a part of a larger fellowship of churches. We are part of the Saskatchewan District of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And when this sanctuary was built onto the old sanctuary, which was about 19 or 20 years ago almost now, a space was built on in the back of the sanctuary at the same time to provide offices for the Saskatchewan District PAOC. And up until about 2 years ago, the Saskatchewan District rented that space from our church. And that rental revenue added $28,000 a year to our annual budget. Those are funds that we were very grateful for. But one day, about 2.5 years ago, the district superintendent came knocking at my door. And before he even said a word or even entered my office, I felt moved by the presence of the Holy Spirit. The superintendent then informed me that the district office was planning to move out of the church offices here in about 6 months' time into a new space that they had built at the Bible College. Now, for a church this size to lose $28,000 in revenue from their annual budget was, I think, pretty significant. But in that moment, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, don't worry, I have a plan. I didn't know what was going to happen. But at that time, I'd been praying for about two years, asking the Lord to give us a vision for evangelism and outreach here at Westside for our community. Little did I know that at that time, the Holy Spirit was already coordinating his own plan and his own timing. Now, during that year, a couple of significant things happened. First, together with the leadership of our church, we prayed and prayerfully developed a shared vision for an outreach center, which we now call the Westside Community Center. Secondly, a handful of people from our church all reached retirement in that same year, and the Holy Spirit pressed upon each of them a calling to serve in the community center. And thirdly, even without the $28,000 of rental revenue from the district office, our church funds actually increased instead of decreased. Now, how does that even make sense? You see, God empowers our small human efforts to accomplish glorious kingdom results. And when you see a need and give what you have to Jesus, he blesses your resources and uses them for his purposes. Remember how I told you about my tree planting days that were, well, actually over 30 years ago? And how those little saplings were almost invisible in that logged out area of the forest. Well, I went onto the internet and did a little bit of research. And according to the annual growth rate of those trees, those little 8-inch saplings that were planted over 30 years ago now should now all be standing trees as tall as 50 feet high. Today, those saplings are a forest. What seemed like a tiny effort at the time has now produced big results. And in a similar way, your small results might seem insignificant today when measured against the great needs of that of what we are challenged with. But in eternity, we'll see how God took your small human effort, blessed it, and did something great, something glorious. So as we conclude this morning, let me ask you, what need might Jesus be calling you to respond to today? What need might Jesus be calling you to respond to today? Whatever it is, don't dismiss the opportunity and miss the chance to demonstrate God's love to others. No matter how inadequate you may feel or overwhelming it may seem, simply start with what you have and bring it to Jesus. Bring it with a heart of generosity and faith. Because when you do, God will bless both gift and giver. And God will empower your small human effort to accomplish glorious kingdom results. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your provision. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that's at work in us. And thank you that you take what we have, whether it's just a loaf of bread or a few things, a couple of fish, small offering, maybe a donation of our time to a ministry. You take our resources that we can give, and you use them for your kingdom purposes. Father, help us to walk in faith this morning, faith and obedience. Lord, let our hearts hear what it is that you may be calling us to do, what need you may be calling us to respond to, that we would have the faith to step out and to give you what we have. Lord, even if it seems insignificant, Father, may we have the faith, may we have the faith to believe that you will bless it for your purposes. Thank you that you call us to a life of significance, that you include us in this work of the gospel. And help us, Lord, to be committed to that work. Help us to not think that we are too insignificant to be a part of it. Lord, we are your people. You've called us to be laborers in your harvest. We ask, Lord God, that you empower each of us with the Holy Spirit to contribute our part, and that you would bless both gift and giver this morning. And we ask those things today in faith, in the name of Jesus. Amen.